Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. I hope that you're enjoying your day, and evening as it may be, as we're out into the world. This is Eddie Hubbard, also known as Ed the Pagan, to all you people out in email land. And I want to say it's been an interesting 23 hours since I've left you. So we're out and about and doing things that we can. Probably one of the big things that have changed, and I want to talk about in a little bit, is the idea of satanic panic. It's starting to really emerge again. And I have a story from Canberra, Australia. But I'm going to bring into that in just a few moments. First, I want to talk about what we've been up to. Well, you know, the illustration was there, and Don's probably going to work on film next week to present to you on the Internet. He's finally functioning again after it. It's very difficult to do these big events and get everything back in order, but he's doing that. We're getting ready for our big event this year in Salem, where we're there for an entire month, where we'll be broadcasting every day. And so we're really kind of excited about that. Well, kind of. I'm very excited about that. Of course we are. I mean, it's going to be a great time, a great chance to meet a lot of people. And it's been really kind of interesting. Boy, I'm just full of ums today, too. All right. But I want to talk a little bit about something that is emerging in our society called satanic panic. It's an interesting concept in the sense of that allegedly in the late 70s, early 80s, all the way through the early 90s, there were all these Satanists who were breeding babies for sacrifices, capturing people, kidnapping people, doing all sorts of incredibly difficult things of sacrifices and rituals and things like that. And they had gotten so far as to have invaded every aspect of military, every aspect of law enforcement, every aspect of everything. And it was being constantly hunted down because it was infesting our society here in the United States. Our society was completely infested with Satanists who were committing mass murders of baby infants and everything else. Now, what's important to indicate on this is that most people don't realize it, but the FBI investigated these very seriously, and they found, literally, they put out a report that said literally there was that there was no evidence, that there's no evidence that they ever found, any tangible evidence. They didn't say that it was not possible, because the FBI doesn't do things like that. So it was basically out there. There are a lot of people who, you know, turned, you know, that there's a lot of people who out there who claim it. Basically, they said the FBI has been involved. Basically, this is a satanic conspiracy theory. The rubric includes, here's what happens. Abductions by family members and divorce cases, children who run away from home, children who have been abandoned, thrown out of their homes because of parents. These are all the fodder that come in. And then these people who disappear are now missing children. And things happen, and there's basically is about the idea that these children then are disappeared. And we claim this a lot. And so there's this idea out there that there's all these Satanists, and it isn't. Well, it's gotten to be in other countries now, too. In Canberra, Australia, you know, and this is really important because we have a lot of people, actually, a lot of students out there and a lot of people who are studying. And then Pastor Danny, on October 17th, 2009, we're calling on all Christians to mount an offensive spiritual warfare attack on the demonic strongholds over the nation. Christians from all over the nation will gather on top of Mount Ainslie in Canberra from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. I guess Canberra, Australian time, we're calling it a special afternoon of United Spiritual Warfare, Prayer, Repentance, and Prophetic Worship. Remember what that is, United Spiritual Warfare, Prayer. I wish to challenge you to get to Canberra, our nation's capital, and hold up the hands of the body of Christ, pastors and Christian leaders living where you seem very tired of fighting this battle alone. I didn't know the Christian leaders there who live there are fighting this. As I've spoken to some of them, if the Muslims can go all the way to Mecca and are willing to sacrifice to save our nation, are we willing to sacrifice a bit to save our nation? So going to Canberra is the equivalent of Muslims going to Mecca. An alternative, if you can't get to Canberra, please rally a group of Christians together and go up to any high place the Lord leads you to spend the afternoon on October 17, 2009 from 2 to 5 p.m. in United Spiritual Warfare, Prayer, Repentance, and Prophetic Worship. Please make sure you don't do this alone. Okay. And why is he doing this? Why is Pastor Danny doing this? Pastor Danny Nala was writing about this concern because he says somebody went to Ainslie Mountain, and then when they brought a group of children there, that there was blood on a government building. That's what he's claiming. Absolutely claiming this out and out. That the federal parliament building literally had blood, human blood, where school children could see it on these buildings. And this is where the satanic panic comes in, because you can say, oh, that's not true. And it says it's and you go, oh, well, you know, where's the evidence? This says, because you keep claiming this. And I don't know if you get it. I mean, this is one of those things you have to, here we go. And I'm going to look up his exact statement. But that's where it begins. He makes this outrageous claim of blood on the federal parliament. And then he goes on and claims, and in time is something here. Okay, here we go. A few weeks ago, dear friends and family in Christ, I'm talking as Pastor Danny here. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine who works as a chaplain from our state school in Victoria took his year six class, on an excursion to Canberra. They went up to the Mount Annesley, which overlooks the federal parliament building. Right on top of this mountain was some sort of communication tower. One of the students, who was not a Christian, came up to my pastor and friend and said, there is blood all over a concrete slab under the tower. This got the attention of many students, and when they were looked at further, it was indeed fresh blood splattered upon the slab. The students were absolutely shocked, as was my friend, who explained this sort of there was some sort of sacrifice. And he goes on to say that there's witches practicing on this Mount Ainslie who are committing blood. Now, why wasn't the police called? There's no sign of this story that the police were ever called. Because if there was blood on a sacrificial place, he does. And he goes on and talks about, you know, how there's covens in the area and how there are witches in the area. And then he goes on to make his request for spiritual warfare. And so he's starting to declare that October 17th is going to be this great attack on all those. And what's the name of his ministry? Catch the Fire Ministry. So that's just one ideology of it. And if it were just that alone, it would be okay. Well, that's just a crazy person. So if you have anything to talk about, 347-308-8222. So it's real easy to take Pastor Danny and his, you know, statement that Mount Ainslie is a place where Satanists are sacrificing things, overlooking the parliament building, cursing the federal parliament, cursing all of them, you know, trying to make Australia not a nation for Christ anymore. And that basically it is, but you notice that there isn't any conjuncting police report with it. That, in fact, the police report that would say that this is real blood is that, and there's no talk of I guess one of the things is, you know, you would think that, you know, that basically that you would say, that they would have evidence of it. So I don't know. I guess I just have to find an idea. But during the 1970s and 80s, there was a group of really these important experts on Satanism emerged, who called themselves Mike Warnke, Lauren Stafford, Michelle Smith. They and lesser-known fundamentalists spread sensational tales of highly organized covens engaging in horrifying acts of satanic ritual abuse. Geraldo Rivera was involved with it. It was called a moral panic. However, in a 1992 federal FBI report found the claims of the organized covens of Satanists coordinated that were completely unfounded. So you have to understand that basically they're making these reports in 2020 report in 1985 that the FBI 1992 report, Satanic Coercion Book by Kenneth V. Lanning, Supervisory Special Agent, Behavioral Science Unit, has claimed, since 1991, I have been assigned to Behavioral Science Unit at the FBI in Quantico, Virginia, and have specialized in studying all aspects of sexual victimization of children. And then he goes on and says, in 1893 and 1894, when I first began to hear stories of what sounded like satanic or occult activity in connection with allegations of sexual victimization of children, allegations that have come to be referred to as ritual child abuse, I tend to believe them. I have been dealing with bizarre, deviant behavior for many years and had long since realized that almost anything is possible. Just when you think you've heard it all, along comes another strange case. The idea that there were a few cunning, secretive individuals in position of power somewhere in the country, regularly killing a few people as part of some satanic ritual or ceremony and getting away with it, is certainly within the realm of possibility. But the number of alleged cases began to grow and grow, and now we have hundreds of victims, allegedly that thousands of offenders are abusing or even murdering tens of thousands of people as part of an organized satanic cult. And there is little or no cooperative evidence. The very reason many experts cite for believing these allegations, i.e. many victims who have never met each other, reporting the same events, is the primary reason I began to question at least some aspects of these allegations. I have devoted more than 7 years part-time and 11 years full-time of my professional life to researching, training, and counseling in the areas of sexual victimization. In response to actually, and he goes on, he says, he doesn't question it lightly. He just says, I have no reason to deny their existence or nature. I have, in fact, done everything I can to make people more aware of the problem. Some even blame me for helping create the hysteria that led to bizarre allegations. I can except no outside income, and then paid the same salary by the FBI, whether or not children are abused or exploited, whether one or 1 million. As someone deeply concerned about professionally committed to this issue, I don't take to question the allegations of hundreds of victims lightly. In response by a few that I'm a Satanist who has infiltrated the FBI to facilitate cover-up, and that's what they do. How does anyone or anyone should disprove such allegations? Although reluctant to dignify such absurd accusation with a reply, all I can say to you, those who made such allegations, that they're wrong, and those who have searched such allegations, careful to consider the source. And so he keeps going on. This is a federal report that basically says, sorry, there isn't anything to prove it is. Okay. And he goes on and says that we need to start taking more look at this. Florence Rush's book, The Best Kept Secret, Sexual Abuse of Children, 1980, and he keeps going on, The Slaughter of Innocents, 1990. Wow. I mean, so you have this very powerful report about it, about this idea, aspect of it. So that. Why is this important? Because it's coming around again. Okay, I have a caller here. Let's see. Hi, there you go. You're on the air with Ed the Pagan. Hello?
Hi, this is Bujo. I called on yesterday.
Hey, Bujo, how you doing?
Doing all right. This is quite an interesting topic. It kind of reminds me back a couple of years ago. It's kind of not the same thing, but back when they were having the big to-do over the Harry Potter books and Christianity and the Christians were, like, wanting to burn and slash all the books and get them off the market because they thought they were corrupting the minds of the children.
It is very similar. It's not, they're not unconnected things. part of the problem is, well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I think that given the exclusive nature of Christianity just as a whole, they tend to think that anything that is not within their context of belief, then it must definitely be wrong and therefore satanic in nature. And by their beliefs, I think they feel they need to protect the believers and the people who don't know any better from basically hurting themselves.
Well, you've got it pretty much the same way that I was taught as a kid. Most people don't realize I was raised in a very fundamental church, an Armageddonist church that is part of this whole process. And yes, which one of the things, you're right, they're taught, everybody's taught within a sort of Christian context, is that the world is full of demons. Not every Christian is taught this, not every Christian is, but these sort of very fundamentals is that the whole world is filled with the devil, and the devil is trying to get your soul. That everything is really kind of a cosmic checkers game. Either the devil gets your soul or heaven gets your soul. And getting your heaven to soul is simple salvation, and the devil is always trying to make you do things. And he has demons, and the demons exist everywhere, and that they have qualifications as Satanists who have power. And this gives them permission to declare war on an ongoing basis against anything that they don't like, they can't deal with. But you're right, Harry Potter is an example of a satanic panic, that Harry Potter was going to encourage Satanism amongst their youth. And what do they do? They're basically now Christian churches have now, many of them have adopted a Harry Potter curriculum. The Pope has come out and said, you know, Harry Potter's not so bad. So when something is really scary to them and then it becomes popular, they tend to grab it back and say, oh, no, we didn't say that.
I know, and it's kind of typical the way Christianity has kind of reacted with the various indigenous races, but also beliefs over the centuries. It was first approached with apprehension, then outright scorn, and then, you know, tolerance, and then integration.
Well, exactly. Well, now, go ahead.
No, I just meant it kind of. I mean, not ever completely, but...
Well, no, they do. Integration is important. It's about disassembling, about one-wayism. They don't agree with one-wayism about, nor do we, and nor, you know, there are people who are Christio-pagans, too. But in a satanic panic, it's a very particular type of activity. And you're right, the Harry Potter attack was and continues to be a satanic panic-style attack. In the sense of that they created a straw man, i.e. witches, in the sense of invisible witches, not the real ones, that are wanting to seduce our children, Satan, through these various acts and get them involved with witchcraft. And one of the things is they aren't taking on directly the real sources of witchcraft in our society, such as witch school and real witches. They're creating straw men. It's not those guys. Those guys are real. Those are silly people. They don't, you know, they're not doing anything real. But the real Satanists are out in the countryside where you can't see them. A lot of this had to do, and it's how they face the world, is that the world is hostile. And it's only a small percentage of people. Let's be honest with it. But they create all sorts of problems. And now their experts are getting out into the world again. And I find that interesting. You'll see, and now what's happening too is that, well, have you heard how the president's getting treated in the United States?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really.
And you know, Bush, not to give it anything, but the left gave Bush a hard time too. Everybody's given each of the people a hard time, but one of the things that you got into it is that this president has had his mother-in-law accused of bringing voodoo doctors and voodoo priestesses into the White House. And that she is herself maybe a practitioner of Santeria, that he himself is a Muslim, not a Christian, even though he's self-proclaimed Christian, that his wife is a militant black, anti-black, you know, anti-white Christian, that, in fact, one of the things is, and because he carries a pocket full of charms around, and he does, he has a pocket full of charms he carries around, because politicians are naturally superstitious, that he's carrying demonic aids with him, and that, you know, that he... these are the things that they use to try to create more of this panic, that now the president of the United States is caught up in Satanism. But they've done that to Bush, too, and they've done that to Clinton and before. So, I mean, it's not so exclusively him.
Well, it's pretty common, though, for them to, like, group politicians in that, because they've always got the conspiracies with, like, the skull and bones and the masonry and such like that. And they all want to jump to the, oh, they must all be in it together under the Illuminati and the New World Order.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me read something to you and the audience beyond it that comes up, and I'll get your opinion here. Private Eye Magazine. This came to me by Wild Hunt Blog. He does great hunting. And it says, and according to Private Eye Magazine, the core of true believers in the Satanic Plot never stop believing, and they're mounting a comeback. And this is from the magazine's article itself. Despite the fact there's never been a shred of credible physical forensic evidence to substantiate the existence of satanic ritual abuse anywhere in the world, there is still an international network of zealots hell-bent on reviving and spreading the myth. For a few years in the late 90s and the early 2000s, the believers quietly went to ground. There was a backlash here and in the United States. Believers stopped talking about satanic and ritual abuse and instead started using the terms organized or extreme abuse. There's now a growing and dangerous fight back in the form of books and conferences featuring speakers defiantly and proudly proclaiming the existence of ritual abuse and how to treat survivors. So this is why I'm talking about this today. You know, that there's a never-ending war against Satan, is how Jason replied to his blog, and that these guys are now making a comeback at this point to say, yep, we still have this ritual abuse, and they accuse, like I just said, the gentleman who wrote and spent 20 years working on this said, guess what, guys, I work for the FBI. I don't get paid from the outside, and no, none of this is real. This isn't happening. And they accuse him of being an FBI agent, because that's always what happens. If there's no evidence, it's the police stole it. And then the Canberra thing, they're claiming that there was blood on a communications tower. First of all, I don't know why they were on top of a building with the communications tower, but they claimed that there was blood on the slab, but there's no accompanying police report. You would think that if they found blood on a concrete slab overlooking the Parliament building of the government of Australia, there would be a police report, right?
I would think so, unless, you know, there was some sort of police cover-up there, too.
Well, that's where it comes down to. Oh, yeah, we tried to call the police. They said, oh, no, nothing happened. And so when they don't – so they go to the police to say, hey, this is happening. And then when the police say, okay, we'll investigate, and they find out, well, there's no claims here. We can't find any evidence. Oh, it's been covered up by Satanists within the system.
So it becomes – it's like surely in the modern day of cell phones and stuff, somebody could have snapped a picture of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for talking to me. I'm going to take on my next caller, and I appreciate it.
All right.
And
yeah,
blessed be. And thanks for listening, and I hope you listen some more.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, hello, yeah. You're on the air, 307.
Hi, this is Zarakon in the chat room.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I called in not too awful long ago to talk to you a little bit. Anyways, back in the early 80s, I was a police officer, and I was actually sent to several classes to investigate panic ritualistic abuse of children and things like that. And, yeah, I actually taught several classes for our community and basically telling them, you know, this is crap, you know, and witches don't behave like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was one. Kind of interesting. So I had to explain to them, you know, that this was what was considered devil worship compared to Satanism or to witchcraft, either one.
Right.
And I think a lot of this where it came from was back in the 80s when that book was written, Michelle Remembers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you were familiar with that. What was interesting about the gal's name was Michelle Pazder, and her husband, Lawrence Pazder, is a psychiatrist who wrote the book.
Right.
So you kind of see where he was maybe trying to make a little money.
Well,
you know?
Okay. You were being taught at this in 80, and now I guess they're making another come around.
Oh, yeah. And I believe what they said, that it's never really died out.
Okay.
If people are just kind of keeping it in the background and it's coming back out again.
Well, okay, let me ask you a question. As a police officer, why did they say this was happening in the 80s, if I may, if you can remember?
I think a lot of it, like I said, was because that book came out, Michelle Remembers, and a lot of people have to jump on the bandwagon of those things, too, you know. And one of the classes I went to was an advanced master's class, is what they called it, about a four-day class up in Kansas City, Missouri. And they had people from, I'm not sure if you remember the Tommy Sullivan case where the little boy apparently started, he was fifth grader in school, and he started studying witchcraft for a book for a report.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, he killed himself and his mother, and so savagely and everything. And they put that in there. And then they mentioned the Richard Ramirez case. They mentioned, child abuse and that was going on at that time.
And then they find enough cases, or issues that they can say that this is the reason for it versus other things. Right? Some of the cases may have some application, but when they go to look for, and then one of the things is there are isolated incidents where people utilize a cult just like they use Christian, just like they use Buddhist or Muslims symbology to commit crimes, you know, strange crimes. And I'm not going to say that those things don't happen. I think what makes Satanic Panic such an interest is that they're saying this is an organized event, that they use what I think are random events, you know, random crimes.
Absolutely.
That aren't, and then say that they're part of an organized set of crimes. Is this, from a police officer's point of view, is this what they're trying to explain?
I think that's exactly what's happening. Now, when I was a police officer, I was approached, well, before I became a police officer, I was approached by a deputy sheriff or a chief
mm-hmm.
deputy who knew that I was pagan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He approached me and he asked me about certain crimes that were going on, and he brought me a whole stack of different reports. And from
mm-hmm.
our area in Missouri, which is a small rural area in northeast of Kansas City. And, yeah, there were several cases of ritualistic animal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from cattle mutilation to cats being sacrificed and things. And what that was teenage dabblers that were, you know, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
were teenage dabblers that didn't have any idea or any basis in witchcraft or Satanism or anything. They just basically watched Rosemary's Baby and a few other of the popular movies
mm-hmm.
that were going on, and they decided how to worship the devil in their mind. So they got out there and they started doing these abusive things, and actually there was one group that they called a coven. I'm not even sure it was like that. I think it was just a group of friends
mm-hmm.
that had got together, and they branded a young girl between her breast with
mm-hmm.
an inverted cross. So yeah, there was enough real incidences down there
right.
to spark a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a concern.
Well,
but nothing, you know, there was no ritualistic child abuse going on per se. There was child abuse going on, but you know, anything that they could, you know, sometimes I think it's easier for them to blame it off on Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Than to realize that this guy's just a scumbag, you know.
Okay. Well, you're a police officer, or have been. Are you still?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. In the case of this, okay, the thing that really triggered me is that not only do you have these guys, but this has this guy who's this Pastor Danny, who on October 17th is going to declare a united spiritual warfare against all the witches of Canberra and beyond. And he's claiming in his article that they found this slab on a mountain that overlooks the parliament, and they found fresh blood on a concrete slab. Now, my question is this, you know, maybe Australia law is a little different, but if this happened in the United States, anywhere, or any police officer, wouldn't they police then investigate and check what that blood was?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
And that's when I have a problem with some of these sort of stories. In your case, you had, now, it sounds like you had a very serious it doesn't matter why it happened, but it wasn't a cult set of symbol crimes. Poor girl
right.
got in there. And you guys investigated and you found evidence of it. You found it. It's there.
Right. It was there.
And so what I don't understand is when these people go off in these deep tangents. Why don't they show the sort of evidence that the police, you know, the FBI claims they can't find? I mean, why wasn't there? Why didn't they take a sample? When the pastor? I guess I know you don't know, but I mean, this is one of the things I think that happened. Maybe you have some advice since you've been through the other side of the situation. If pagans get accused of this in any given area, like in your area, how would they stand up to it? I mean, with hot, you know, with a policeman suddenly saying, "Well, you're Satanists who are committing crimes." Do you have any suggestions up for them from a police point of view?
Other than just having good evidence of where you've been and, you know, covering your bases that way, I don't know. I mean, because it's just like you can accuse anybody of anything.
Right.
I mean, that's where the basis of our civil lawsuits are today. You can basically accuse anybody of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And win. You know, if you can make 12 people believe you, you can win.
Right.
But, no, it's, you know, I believe that, you know, this stuff's been going on forever. I mean, it's the same stupidity that led to the witch trials in Salem. It's the same stupidity that's causing children in Africa right now to be labeled witches, beat and killed and everything. Matter of fact, I wrote a blog on the witch school page, on my witch school page about that.
Yes.
About the children being abused in Africa.
Absolutely.
And it's going on every day. And my title of my thing is the witch or the burning times, are they over? No, they're not.
No.
There's always going to be ignorance and there's always going to be fear out there. And that's what causes these things.
And it's one of the things I've been striving for, because I've actually known about these, really got it brought home to me about 10 years ago when I was in South Africa, just how bad these behaviors like Ghana's witch children and things like that. My only problem that I have in the world today is that I don't have the resources. We have yet to get the resources to be able to do anything more directly.
Right.
I guess that's
the same way.
And I think one of the reasons I think the satanic panic situation is important that people know that it's happening again is that it actually attacks our ability to help people overseas, because we have to refight this in our own, you know, we have to refight this battle again in our own backyard. And I guess the more people know about it ahead of time, I think the better off people will be. So when they are facing this and going, excuse me, this isn't happening, this is, the, you know, there's an FBI report that you can get on the internet on. And so I think that's a very interesting thing. So that's, you know, that. I appreciate you calling in today. Any last words for our audience about this?
Oh, yeah. I'd say just be watching real closely and see if Geraldo decides to make a second episode.
Okay.
Or some other major interviewer out there decides to make their mark on society with the episode and trying to blow this out of proportion again. Because that's exactly what happened back in the 80s.
Okay.
They blew it so far out of proportion, it was crazy. As a matter of fact, there was a group started called the Occult Awareness Network back then, and I can't remember who wrote it, who was the main writer in there, but they also got involved in Waco.
Mm-hmm.
That was David Koresh and all that. And shortly, they were actually some of the main advisors to the government during the Waco thing.
Right.
And you see how that turned out.
And the Occult Awareness Network is still around.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it's still around.
Those guys were proven as charlatans at that time. I can't believe they're actually still going.
Well, you know, the problem is that, again, when you get into these sort of satanic panics, is being attacked. They always turn the attacks as, of course we're being attacked. We're telling the truth. Anytime you tell the truth, you're going to be attacked. And it becomes a self-reinforcing thing that if it were not true, people would just ignore us. And that's why everybody goes back to the idea of ignoring people. Well, why don't you hang on here a minute? I have Don on the other line, I believe. Hey, Don.
Hello.
How you doing? What do you have to say today?
Well, it's a very interesting subject and one that's really important from a pagan point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing how some of these groups have actually survived when they're obviously a bunch of crackpots, for want of a better way to put it.
Okay.
Because I would think that anyone who looks back at the things that went on in the 80s and early 90s and looks at their so-called evidence and methodology in the whole satanic panic situation would be able to very clearly see that none of it was true, and yet these groups are still there.
Well,
and still insisting that they were right all along and the whole world is against them, and intelligent people actually accept this argument, which is amazing.
Well, they had God on their side, Doc. You know, that's the way they look at it. I've got God behind me, so of course I'm righteous. You know, and it's true.
Yeah.
So they can always fall back on that.
Well, one of the things is that
what surprises me, though, is the how gullible the general public was about it. And that's something we have to be very aware of in the world today.
Well, doesn't the world love a good soap opera?
Well, it does.
And it always loves entertainment.
And it loves a good horror film.
They love a good horror film.
And to a certain extent, the idea of living one is probably very attractive to some people. Because, after all, the elements of this are the elements of many a horror film.
Now, there, I butcher names all the time, but we were talking earlier in the show. Zerichon here is telling me about they did have an incident which was occult-based in the sense of out-of-control teenagers learning from a Hollywood-type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Did I understand that right?
Yes, you did.
And basically, that it could be, and this is the type of stuff that gets used for fodder for a larger conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you, I mean, have we had, you know, are we seeing, you know, are we, because we have more members, are we going to see more crime just from just our numbers? Are we going to see crime like this emerge against us?
Possibly, because, you know, there's an equal amount of Christian-based crime that doesn't get talked about the same way.
Okay.
You know, there are all kinds of things. It's almost a stereotype. The person who goes out and kills or otherwise damages everyone they think are evil.
Mm-hmm.
There are the witch hunts, which I think have been talked about on the show before in Africa, but you see them in England, too, in immigrant communities, where usually little children end up being severely beaten or killed.
Mm-hmm.
For Christian religious reasons. So yeah, I don't necessarily doubt that we would see things. And it's going to be really important, I think, for us to make the very public point that it is not part of the religion, but that there are sometimes people who are aberrant from people who are just mentally unbalanced.
And isn't this kind of one of those golden rules? Basically, they don't want every person who acts in who claims Christianity is the basis of a crime to be held against all Christians. But the opposite doesn't seem. But even a single crime by a single pagan is held against the whole of the community.
Yes, and we have to either.
Mm-hmm.
We either have to somehow get the paradigm that, basically the sauce for the goose is the sauce for the gander.
Right.
And we either have to get them to see that the occasional insane person who uses symbols that are related to a religion does not have anything to do with the main body of the religion, being true in all religions, or we have to make very clear to them that they have their own nutballs. And the paradigm needs to go one way or the other. Because, I mean, we're very, very tolerant people. We hate to bring up things like that, but it might not be inappropriate to bring it up in certain cases. And, you know, Waco was mentioned earlier, and you know, they all recognize Waco. They all recognize Guyana and Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. These were Christians. These were absolutely not pagans, and they are real.
Now, Zerichon was mentioning, and maybe you can repeat it again to us, that the fact about the can situation. I don't know if you heard that earlier, Don.
No, I did not.
Can you explain can again?
Pardon me, I lost track there.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were talking about the earlier today, we were talking about Waco, Texas, and the fact of the Cult Awareness Network, which is, you know, this very this sort of satanic panic group, was involved with Waco as well.
Yeah, it was actually, I read it, gosh, I'm trying to think where I read it. But it was an expose on the Cannes group, and they were talking that they were involved in the Waco fiasco. As a matter of fact, as advisors of what to do along the way, as they were trying to negotiate with David Koresh and all these people, and basically they helped lead to the fiasco that happened down there because you know you're not going to get through to them and all this. They were telling the FBI people and all that, and basically it led to. The big fiasco down there. I'll have to go back and find my material on that, but yeah, there was definitely some information where those people were pretty much exposed as charlatans, which really makes me couldn't believe they're still going in existence today.
Oh, they still are.
I think a lot of them were exposed as charlatans.
I'm going to take a moment break here. Thank you, Zarakon, for calling today. We're going to continue our conversation with Don Lewis. We're going to take this momentary break, and we'll be right back.
Not a problem.
Thank you. Okay. And we're back. Why don't you go ahead and reply to the final note there, Don. Thank you, Zarakon, for calling. It was a great call. We've had some great callers today, 347-308-8222. This is Witch School Live. Next week we're moving to Pagans Tonight. I'm going to start up a show called Pagans Tonight. It'll be 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Pick it right up on our front page, and you can spread the widget around. You can have this on your own profile page, on your MySpace page, on your Facebook page. Just come and grab the widget, and you can use it for yourself. And you can share our programming on your website. Okay, Don. Sorry.
I was going to say that a number of these groups were exposed as charlatans. A number of these so-called mental health professionals who were part of this, and it's very important to remember them, have been exposed as having been charlatans, as anywhere from incompetent to actually malicious in making things up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fairly widely understood that a great deal of what was brought forward as quote evidence end quote was either totally misinterpreted or totally false.
Right.
And yet, here they are again.
Well,
one of the things that happened before that I cannot stress too strongly is the role of members of the mental health profession who paraded their degrees. Through the whole satanic panic thing, claiming that things like hypnosis were extremely effective in finding out the truth of situations, and could not possibly like be implanting ideas in people's heads by leading them, and people believe this because people are kind of conditioned to believe someone with a degree, which is a very bad conditioning to have. Because these people were not.
Let me give you and everyone else a very scary hypothesis. I've gotten hit before for having scary hypotheses that people didn't like to hear. But could the Internet, in this next round of satanic panic, could the Internet be actually fueling these nutcases that come out in the sense of they can now show a worldwide group of witches working together? Could we become this conspiracy they've said has always existed? Because of the Internet.
Well, certainly to them.
Rattling thought, isn't it?
True. but you know, it was true before when we were publishing books and putting out newsletters. They could point to us and say, look, there's what we're talking about, as long as they didn't look close enough to see that we weren't really what they were talking about.
Right.
The important thing is, if this kind of thing is gathering steam again,
mm-hmm.
The important thing is that we have to be visible, and we have to be loud, because, you know, the natural instinct is, oh, I'm going to go hide till this passes over, but that doesn't work very well. It's never worked well for minority groups.
Well, talk about Jesse Helms.
Good old Jesse Helms?
Talk about, well, what did the witches do in Jesse Helms?
Well, actually, for those of us who have been around a long time, they may remember the Jesse Helms Anti-Witchcraft Amendment, which I want to say was 84 or 85.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything about it in front of me, so I'm just kind of remembering.
Right, but we understand
witches
that.
From across the country met in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and raised energy to defeat the bill, which was, in fact, defeated. But Washington was flooded for like 2 weeks afterwards from massive rains, which was very memorable, in my opinion.
And are you claiming that the witches caused that, or...?
Either that or the hand of deity.
The hand of deity.
I would rather take it as an omen, saying that deity was, how can you put it? Well, on our side, for want of a better way to put it.
And then, let me think.
Certainly answered the prayers that were sent.
And then 25 years later, more or less, all the witches gathered together to do a ritual for Obama.
Yes, they did. A good number of people did a lovely ritual emphasizing peace and cleansing and so forth, which probably terribly upset
the
satanic panic crowd.
So,
of course, they really hate to make a differentiation between what they perceive, I think, as the two religions of the earth, Protestant Christianity and Satanism.
Right. So maybe one
of course, it's not just us that they are against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it behooves us to take with a grain of salt anything that comes out of their camp about any group that they talk about.
Maybe we should have people on our side. You know, we love ghost hunters. Maybe we need some sort of forensic evidence hunters after the government's done.
Well, you know. We have a number of police officers
mm-hmm.
who are Wiccan. Some of them have a very high profile, some do not.
Well, Karen DeAnte is very much aware of this stuff, and he's always fighting against it.
Mm-hmm.
But let me offer...
I think it would be really good.
Because I would love to send somebody up to that top of that mountain in Canberra and look for that blood. Because even if it's only 3 weeks later, there's still evidence there.
There's evidence of blood 100 years later. They've gone to the Lizzie Borden house with spectral analysis or whatever it's properly called, where you have the little light that shows up blood stains, even though you can't see them. It's still there 100 years later. So it certainly would still be there now.
So
and
when
there
we,
should be enough that it could be analyzed.
Absolutely. In this day and age, DNA is knowing exactly who it belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty close.
Yeah.
So we should
and, you know, one of the things about the Satanic Panic that was so important in terms of why nobody was willing to ask about it, the people in the Satanic Panic movement were claiming that thousands of people were disappearing every year, and yet those people were not missing. I mean, you notice when thousands of people disappear. They were claiming... The one that really got my attention... was the Dale Akiki case, where this man was accused, among other things, of sacrificing animals in a church. And they accused him of sacrificing an elephant in the church. And the pastor of the church, who had actually believed the accusations up until then, realized quite suddenly that it was not possible to have brought an elephant into his church at midday on a public street, killed it in the sanctuary, and cleaned up all the elephant blood in time for services that evening. But it should have been obvious to anyone. It was not a possibility. It was not literally not possible. The McMartin Baby School case had the same thing. They were claiming that they had flown these children during the course of the daycare day to a city that was so far away that the plane could not have gotten there and gotten back, let alone done anything, in the hours that were available.
Right.
And nobody questioned it. And that was what is so upsetting about this whole thing. And again, I really tie it to the mental health professionals who involve themselves in this.
Well,
I do not understand why no one has ever questioned them.
And I can give you one
I've
more
I've never heard
piece
of any of them being questioned.
And I'll give you one more piece of the Satanic Panic, I think, that fueled it. We were heading into, for the first time, at the same time, we were heading into the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
And they were just beginning. They were still hunting for stories to fill up. And Geraldo Rivera and a lot of these news guys covered this story like it was a real thing.
That's true, and that did not help anything.
And they're the ones.
Geraldo really.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, he destroyed his career by doing it in the long run.
Oh, no, he hasn't. He has a great career.
Yeah, but it's not the career he had before.
Okay.
He was actually a respected journalist before that. And after that, he's considered a tabloid entertainer.
I thought that was the...
He really destroyed his credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Thing. But anyway,
okay.
You're right, though. He didn't destroy his career. He just changed it.
Right.
But and he also, in some ways, turned the tide because he went so extreme that people for the first time could really see this was not a possibility. It was not only not true, it was not even possible.
Right. But now what I'm finding out, and this is really an important idea, and I'm hoping I'm not going over people's heads with this. If I do, call me and tell me I am, and I'll re-explain it. The news stations are moving into... 2009 has been a paradigm change in how the world works, informationally. We are now creating a society in which distance is not as an important factor of friendship as it is common cause, common thought. We are starting to take away geography as a rule of setting up our communities and our friendships. And in that process, it's also changing how we watch our news, how we entertain ourselves, citizen journalism, a lot of different ways. And in order to keep people, the 24-hour news cycles are turning into narratives. We have something I would call news fighting. And the news are trying to use stories and facts and ideas from various different people to compete for an audience who believes the same way they do. And you see Fox with their Glenn Becks and their Rush Limbaughs and their really strong position of we hate the president. MSNBC is almost the other extreme for the president. And these two stations are battling out, and they're getting audiences. And then CNN tries its best to stay in the middle there somewhere. And they're all beginning to build a narrative. Are these satanic panic people coming back because they can lay down a new narrative, a new story that somebody eager to fill their news hours with stuff that their audience wants in the world of blogs and self-entertainment and competing cable networks? Is it the same? Is it really their ability to convince people, more people, as a not as a percentage, but as actual numbers of them?
Well, you know, I have to say, I had never realized until now what you just said about the original satanic panic coinciding with the expansion of news services.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really interesting because that is exactly what's happening now.
Right.
And so, yeah, and you know, you listen to what's on the news, and you see things that clearly are ridiculous, like the whole death panel thing. And obviously, they're more than willing to put things on that they know to be untrue, or that they know to be highly exaggerated, because the audience wants it.
Exactly. And the president was heckled at the last night, the president of the United States was heckled at a joint Congress, you know, a meeting of the joint Congress.
Mm-hmm.
A congressman literally yelled out because of what some Obama said and said, "You lied. You lie." So there's a certain aspect of this sort of our society which is becoming, I hate to say it, becoming increasingly more rude in their differences.
Well, I think it's becoming, the differences seem to be becoming almost irreconcilable. It reminds me very much of America in the 1850s.
There was also another coinciding with Satanic Panic that I think is very dangerous for us to realize. One of the big claims of Satanic Panic that I've seen has disappeared,
mm-hmm.
and I'm surprised, is that all abortion clinics are ran by Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the time of the Satanic Panic, they said a lot of abortionists, they were using fetuses in their rituals. That abortion clinics were filled with Satanists.
Oh, I never even heard that one.
Oh, no, that was true. That was part of the Satanic Panic.
I tried not to listen. It's very interesting, and it's worth saying that when that happened,
mm-hmm.
when the Satanic Panic came up, I was probably in about...
Your early 20s.
Yeah. I was around my 10th year as a priest.
Right.
And I had always held the point of view that there weren't really any Satanists running around. If there were, there were a small number of people who were basically intellectuals who had weird ideas that they lumped under that term,
right,
but weren't really practicing. Now, I realize today that's not so, but that's what I thought then, because, you know, you didn't see any. And when this came out, my first question was, and I really, really wondered, my God, is this really true? Are there people out there doing these things? And I was quite shocked by the idea. And of course, I realized, looking back, the answer was no, it wasn't true. And it really was a very shocking moment to wonder that. And certainly there are people out there who are doing things that aren't good,
mm-hmm.
but the things that they talk about in that movement simply are not true from anything I've ever seen.
So it sounds like one of the things you're saying is that we've got to be the Corellian tradition, the Wiccan tradition, the pagan community has got to be working really hard to create their narrative in the story to show that it isn't happening.
Yeah, we'd better, because if we don't say something, we won't have the chance later.
And why do you say that? Why do you say if we don't do it now?
It's very hard when someone else has already positioned you to reposition yourself.
Okay. And
it's harder. It's possible, but it's much harder. Whereas if you positioned yourself from the start,
mm-hmm.
it's harder for them to reposition you.
And right now,
for their people, we have no position whatever. They don't even see us.
And that's something that's been reported before, that 55% of Americans don't even know what a Wiccan is, or which mm-hmm. a Wiccan is. That, well, there's still more than half the country has never heard of a Wiccan or a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask this last thing. How do you do this without becoming evangelical or proselytizing?
Well, positioning yourself as a matter of public relations.
Okay.
I would not consider to come under those headings.
Okay.
In fact, I would consider it no different than the school of heraldry we have in the Corellian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the Witan Council all have their heraldic symbols. They wear them in public when they're doing ritual. It positions them for who they are, so mm-hmm. that people attending realize these are members of the Witan. This one has this characteristic, that one has that characteristic. You can kind of tell by the symbols a lot about the people. So I would not consider public relations any different from that. But you bring up the idea of proselytizing,
mm-hmm.
which almost all Wiccans disapprove of, but what do we mean by that? And not everybody has the same definition. To me, proselytizing is trying to force somebody to convert to your religion, whether they want to or not, whether they want to hear about it or not, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Without, and I do not consider merely being public to be anything resembling that. I do not consider getting your message out to be anything resembling that either.
Well,
because nobody has to listen to it.
I have to agree with you. To a certain degree, a lot of people know me that I have moments when I'm the pagan preacher. But
yeah.
I don't do it out of anything else. Usually it's after a Christian preacher has attacked me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done public preaching as a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken on the Christian preachers from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
When it's appropriate, though, I don't go out there in the middle of the thing and just start preaching. It's usually in response to something.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was filling out the pagan census yesterday,
and we're down to our last minute.
Doing?
Yes.
And,
go ahead. Tell us about the pagan census.
Well, the thing that it brought to my mind, I've been a public pagan since I was in junior high school, and
To get the rest of the story.
All of that has been a matter of positioning myself.
Right. And to get more of this, we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. Satanic Panic Part 2. Give us a call in, 347-308-8222, tomorrow at noon. We're going to continue this conversation because I think there's still a lot more to have to be said here. Tell your friends about it. We're going to go ahead and do it. If you like Witch School, support us. $5 a month, $19.99 a year. $99.99 for lifetime membership. We could really use the support as we're expanding our website and doing so much more. And tomorrow we're going to get to you on part two of Satanic Panic. Don, you have time enough to say blessed be. And
blessed
give
be.
A little blessing. Any prayers for people to protect them against from satanic panics?
No, but we should compose one, I'm sure.
And we'll talk about this again tomorrow. You've been witching to List School Live, our Satanic Panic special. and we'll have more of this tomorrow for you, and I really appreciate it. And remember, Monday at 9:00.